The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
No. There's been a mistake, you see.
Excuse me. What Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Austin. Dr. BJ Perry.
Clinical Muscle starts.
Great Scott.
The doctors are in. You are listening to Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I am your host, Dr. VJ Puri. Along with me, as always, the star of this production, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Yo.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. It's always good to talk to my friend once a month.
Yeah.
it's
our only social life, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, especially for me. I've been so stressed out over this damn house I've been trying to sell for, it feels like ever, but really it's only been like 6 weeks. But it's just more stressful than I thought. I'm always second guessing myself.
It's
a good morning. I did wake up with a headache. We were talking about that a little bit. I got degenerative disc disease in my neck. I have a bad neck that I had from a wrestling injury when I was in eighth grade, and it's all fucked up, I know. And I purposely ignore it. Yes, that's terrible, I know. But I don't go – I'm not getting an MRI. I'm not getting more x-ray either way. But it gets screwed up every once in a while. And sometimes in the middle of the night, if I sleep in the same spot too long, I'll just get a pounding headache. And it's all originating right from – so I can pinpoint where it's coming from. It's in the muscles in my neck.
The muscles in your neck. Oh, for some reason I thought you said like the occipital protuberance in the backside of your head was hurting.
Yeah,
God, that's not a good spot, man.
It's kind of like where my left trap inserts up into my base of my skull.
Oh, okay. I know what's happening with you, man. This is a tension. Yeah, yeah. This is a tension headache. Probably, yes, related to. Probably related to some degenerative stuff that's going on.
Because in chiropractor school, do you guys ever use something that's similar to what we call counter strain?
I bet we have a different nomenclature for that.
Okay, so basically you find if someone's having a pain somewhere, you find with your finger the most tender point.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically move them into positions to where that pain is gone, and you hold them there.
Interesting.
For 3 minutes or 30 seconds, and you count. And then you have them relax, and you gently put – and it's called strain counter strain. And basically what it would be for a cervical spine would be usually extension, you know, mm-hmm. coming back, folding around the pain usually would relieve the pain. It really does. So for me, what I got to do is when I start to get it, I just got to move and find a position of ease and stay in that position.
That what you describe is kind of like ART, active release technique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, active release therapy.
So once I do that or I just get out of bed, it goes away. But it only happens once in a while, like a couple times a year. And of course it happened today, and I woke up at like 5:50 and was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's gone. It's actually gone right now already. Just since we've been up, I've been moving around. My neck's nice and loose.
Bam. Yeah, that's a tension headache for sure. For sure.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Get blood flow going and it feels better right away.
Yep. So what's new? Anything?
Oh, man, lots of stuff on the horizon, man. Life is changing, you know. So that's we just got to roll with it, you know.
Yeah, you're selling and you're looking at stuff and doing this and that
and thinking about different things and different paths that I can take from here, you know.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
So we'll see. I definitely still wanting to go to school. I've got my apps in several places that I have that I've been thinking about. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I just been same old stuff over here. Just every day, just, you know, selling this house has been like the only thing I think about. It's messing everything up. You know, honestly, like my diet's shitty right now. Like my training's not been good. Like I said this before.
Well, that was going to ask you then. How is this affecting your training? So not good.
Yeah, it's not good. No, it's not. I'm going to be honest because I'm in the gym and I'm going, I'm lifting. And like I said before, I'm checking my phone. It's just – it's just constantly on the back of my mind. When is this going to happen?
You can't relax, man. That's what it is.
No, exactly. My cortisol levels are super high, I'm sure. I'm bloated. I'm fat. Fucking God, my life sucks. I got to hang up. You know, and it's, you know, but it wouldn't be so bad if I didn't already give money away. If you know what I mean. Like, if I was just trying to sell my house and then I was looking for a spot.
Yeah.
I should have did that. But the reason why we didn't do it that way is because the place we found, we fell in love with, and they were like, we only have like 4 spots left in this neighborhood. So we kind of –
that's how they get you, man. That's how they get you.
I know. We kind of did a little backwards and put a little more pressure on ourselves, as opposed to if we'd have found the neighborhood and they're like, oh, we'll be here for a year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they – you know, people do that all the time, and it usually works out pretty well, especially if it's a nice place like what you have, you know, what you're moving into. It'll move. It's just a fucking tough time. November, December is basically blackout period for real estate. There's not a whole lot that goes on. And then, you know, people are trying to close deals before the end of the year so they can get paid for 2018 and not have to have, you know, money accounts still open in 2019. That's usually the case, but it's tough to do. So usually the people will just end up waiting until 2019. That's why this blackout period sucks so bad for real estate.
Well, that's more reassuring to hear that then, because I mean, I know my realtor did tell us that when we put the house up in I think it was a couple of days before Halloween. He said, look, we got about 6 weeks here where if we can move it, we'll move it fast, but then it is going to slow down. I don't want you guys to panic. And he was telling us that right off the beginning. But I mean, whenever someone's in a business of selling, I feel like, well, I don't know how truthful that is, because I don't know anything about real estate, but when you're telling me that, I always feel a little better about it. But we did drop the price $10,000 because honestly, we opened up with the number we had. I think everyone can look up where I live now, so it's not I don't have to hide no more. You can look my house up on the internet.
Yeah, right.
You
know,
you see my address. See my address. If you want to mail me a package bomb or present.
Some anthrax.
Some anthrax. Or if anyone wants to send the doc a couple Christmas presents,
hey, there you go. Some protein and some anthrax. Just
there you go. Protein, anthrax, poison. And some pick your poison. No, nothing. If it's ticking, I ain't opening it. Oh, shit. You know what? This is changing the topic, but it's not. But speaking of fucking mail, dude, Amazon – I don't know if you saw my little Instagram story. You probably didn't, but maybe you did. I don't know. Amazon is like going all out. Like they're not fooling around with delivering.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. They're like man. They're like in a day you can get your shit.
Yo. And they took a picture of it on my porch, so I can't say it's not there.
No shit. Wow.
Yeah, so now you know how you go track your order? I tracked my order, and it said delivered, and underneath the delivered was a picture of my porch with the packages on the porch. That is a smart idea. They will never get ripped off again. You can't say that wasn't there.
For real.
I never got it. They took a packet. That's brilliant. They should have been doing that for years with these phones and everything. I was like, holy shit, that's a – And I was in my house and I didn't know it was delivered. And I was laying on the couch and I just happened to push, you know, Chrissy's like, hey, did you get that protein? Cause that's what we're waiting for. And I said, oh, let me check. It said it's out for delivery, you know, this morning, and it said delivered and it had a picture. I was like, oh shit, they're going off. They're like this holiday season.
I think Amazon is going to be, I mean, they're going to have their own shipping service here pretty soon.
Yeah.
And so they're going to put like fucking UPS and FedEx out of business, I think.
Yeah, they should. I mean, that's a great idea. No one ever done that. They took a picture of it. It said delivered, and I could clearly tell it was my porch because, I mean, I know my house. You know what I mean?
So if
you come home and it's not there, they're going to be like, well, we delivered it. You know, I don't know what to tell you, I guess.
It's too bad you live in a shitty neighborhood, guy, and people are stealing your shit.
Ask your fucking corrupt neighbor if he stole your shit.
Yep, and he did. He's got a brand new TV. Hanging in there. I'm like, where did you get that from? Looks an awful lot like the one I ordered. That's weird.
Well, you remember last Christmas we had that – I don't know if you remember. You might. We had that basketball thing.
I do remember that.
Dude, I still can't believe that it's really gone.
That's so like, crazy.
I mean, I went out and bought another one. Thank God the person, he gave us our money back. He was he believed us because I was – I mean, I tried to investigate. I called the – because we thought maybe we do that every year. Like I'm about to do it now. We're about to make a huge donation to like Purple Heart.
What's that? What's Purple Heart?
Purple Heart's like Goodwill.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Except they pick up everything. Like you can I've given away computers, furniture. And then you just make an estimate on your taxes. They give you a receipt of what you thought the value of the products, you know, things were. So we do that every year, like Purple Heart. And then there's another one. It's called the Cancer Federation, who they kind of do the same stuff.
Oh, right.
So we always do a couple of them right towards the end of the year for tax purposes. And then, you know, we'll just clean out all the old clothes and shit and go downstairs and, you know, do that. This year, I was hoping to have this house sold because I was going to do a bunch of furniture, try to get rid of shit before we moved, but that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that's tough, man. December. I think, like I said, I think for sure by end of January, mid-February, you'll have the house sold.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, like I said, we did drop the price, and the only reason we did that is because it wasn't even our realtor who said to do it. It was me because I'm a fucking nut. You know, like I'm freaking out. Like I want it sold. I just want a contract and be done with it. I'm not trying to – I don't even worry about the money. I just want enough money to get out of my house and get into my new house. I'm not trying to like, you know
– Yeah, trying to cash in and cash out.
Yeah, I mean my house is so – was. I'm just fortunate. I'm going to be fortunate to get out of it because believe it or not, I bought this house in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years later, we were thinking about refinancing and thinking we had equity. And because of the whole real estate collapse and the bad – mortgages and all that shit. I think I've told this story before. We had to, before we refinanced, we had to get our house appraised, and they came back at like $100,000 less 2 years ago than we bought it for.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been digging our way out of this sort of negative equity until, you know, until the mortgage, everything went back up, and now of course we've been paying our house for 14 years,
mm-hmm.
where we're not going to make much anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's tough, man.
We knew the 409 price may be a little bit high, but we're like, look, we got a little bit of time. Let's just put it up and see what happens. We can always drop it. And then I'm like, let's drop it. Right, Chrissy's like, no, I want it sold.
Yeah. I hear you. It's annoying. The whole thing is annoying. It's one of the most stressful things you can do, apparently, is move, you know?
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. I can feel it. I feel like
I feel it. It's true. Affecting your training, that's no good.
That's what I was going to say. It's affecting my training. My motivation, it's affecting my motivation, you know, and you guys were just talking about on BNR,
mm-hmm.
not to be another, podcast review show, but you know, we're all like family. So we do that.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about, you know, somebody was trying to figure out if they could get, you know, that, you know, fit training into their lifestyle or something.
Yeah.
You guys were like, look, you know, if that's what you love to do, you'll figure out a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you got to work 12 hours or 15 hours or not. I think there was something like that you guys were talking about.
Yep.
And that's kind of how things are right now. I feel like I'm to the point some days where I'm like, I don't even feel like going to the gym. Almost like a little depression, but I'm not depressed. We don't need anybody sending a psychiatrist to my house. I'm good. But like just my motivation's way down because that's all I'm thinking about. And then like today we got the walkthrough, an open house at 1. So when I'm done here, you know, I got to try to get to the gym real quick, come back and clean this house. Not that our house is ever really that dirty, but you know what I mean. You got to get it right.
Got to get some of the boxer hair off the floor. That's it.
Exactly. Always got a mop. That's the one thing. Always got a mop and vacuum.
That's it. Clean after that.
So I'm finding that, like, it's affecting my motivation. You know, I think I've been getting in, getting out a little quicker, kind of like going through the motions a little bit, just honesty, you know, that's just how, and I know this will pass once everything's kind of settled in. So that's why before we were pre-gaming, you mentioned Boxing Day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boxing Day is like the thing that the doc and I do every year. We eat like shit basically from December from November through December, you know, basically football season altogether. And then we just get sick of ourselves. And the day after Christmas is Boxing Day in Canada. But, you know, that's our gold standard for the day of when your dieting starts for the next year.
Right. And that I've been thinking about that, and that day's coming quick, and I'm like, fuck.
You gotta get some Cap'n Crunch in you real quick.
I'm like, I hope I can do a diet. Like, I hope mentally I see.
Well, it might be tough, man, but you know.
I hope mentally I can actually diet. No, seriously. Like, you gotta, like, for me, I gotta go all in on that. You know, that's how it is. And I was already thinking about that. I'm like, oh fuck, Christmas is coming fast. I'm like, we gotta start a diet on Boxing Day. And I'm like, if I start this diet, I'm gonna be cheating like a mug. Mm-hmm. Stress, just from the straight up stress. But funny, I kind of am starting to get to that point where I'm looking forward to that, though.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. When you're
that, my chest is sold by then, I'll be good.
Yeah, when you're in like a time of like stress period, you know, stuff is stressing you out and stuff. And it's nice to have like something to go back to that kind of regrounds you, you know, as a person.
Yeah.
Usually for us bodybuilders, that usually is like diet manipulation and something that's goal oriented for physical. I guess for us, it's just our, you know, body appearance, I guess. You know, should I improve now or should I get big now? What should I try to do now? But to have an actual goal, it kind of detracts from all the stress so that you can actually pour yourself into that and almost create like a leveling effect between the stress and your newfound joy of your new project that you're doing, you know?
So that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, so going into like a dieting period here in a time of stress, it might actually work out really well for you. Like it'll take your distractions away from all the stuff that's stressing you out, and you can focus on, you know, what I got to eat, what I got to train today, how much cardio I got
to
do today.
And I won't be able to worry about the house for sale too, you know, as much.
Yeah.
Because my mind will be preoccupied with
exactly.
That's a great way to look at it. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. Now, here's what's funny. Since we're on stress, we all know that stress is bad, you know. Mm. It puts stress on your heart. You probably walk around with higher level blood pressures, your cortisol level. So it's terrible for bodybuilding, you know, mm-hmm. when you're stressing yourself out. Like I said, I told you my sleep hasn't been good. I'm a tossing and turning, you know, waking up with this neck pain. But this is crazy. And this just shows how all even building muscle and getting in shape and just looking like – look, I mean, I posted a picture last night. I'm not a professional bodybuilder. I just enjoy training and try to get as best shape as I can and lifting weights like everybody else.
Yes.
So that goes back to them genetics. I figured my genetics out a long time ago that I'm never going to be a pro no matter what I do. And, of course, I don't – you know, I got to – I can't go to that level anyway. But going with – same as that with stress, my wife – don't give a fuck. It don't bother her at all. I'm like, don't that bother you that our house ain't sold yet? She's like, no.
It's like been for sale for like 4 or 5 weeks. You're like, oh my God, I'm freaking out.
I'm like, don't you worry about that? To like me, there's a potential I could lose money and we could end up having to try to figure out a nope. I'm not worried about it. She don't even fucking care. Like, it's not stressing her out at all.
It's not that she doesn't care. It's just that she is
her genetics. She just handles things better.
Like, exactly.
People are so different. Exactly. Bodybuilding, there's pros. There's super freaks. There's guys like us. Well, actually, I would consider you more of you might be on the level of a little bit of a freaky with your genetics.
Oh, but
you won't ever admit to that though. But it's pretty obvious. Anyway, I'm a super low freak. I'm a super duper non genetic. So, but then the stress thing too. She handles it like nothing, bro. It's like I don't even think she thinks about that.
Man, she's equipped. She's a female. She's equipped for being stressed out. You kidding? She's had two kids. She's like, this is nothing. Are you kidding me?
It's funny though.
I pushed out 2 10-pound watermelons out of my vagina. I can wait a fucking couple of weeks.
We'll be driving down the road and I'll be staring out the window and she goes, what are you thinking about? I'm like, oh, I'm just fucking waiting for this phone to ring. She's like, what is wrong with you? Like, she's like, what is wrong with you?
This is good though, Doc. I mean, this is the yin and yang. This is like you picked the right partner because she's your exact opposite and balances you out, man.
100% agree, and that goes in line with some other things through our life that's happened.
Sure, sure.
She's always been like sort of the one that handles the stress better. Like, I mean, something will happen. And
try
I'll
to
be
keep you grounded, Yeah.
She'd be like, "You need to stop." Like, but it's funny to see that. Like, I'm freaking out every day, and she's like walking around like everything's normal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, for me, I'm such a hyper freak that really everything is normal. It's just a sign out front. I got to stop stressing myself out, but I can't do that. I'm just one of them guys that thinks.
You're high energy. Your mind is always going. So if there's something that's complete, like unsolved for you at the moment, wears you the fuck out, right?
Yes.
I know, man, because I have the same tendency.
I'm to the point where I will drop this. I'm the kind of person that would be so silly just to have that sold, done, and over with part, mm-hmm. that I would make myself lose money by not waiting it out. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Just to have a fucking peace of mind, you're like, God damn, I'll just lose the money. I don't care.
And Steve's like, I'm not giving away my house. Like, stop it. Because I'm like, let's go further. Let's drop it more. She goes, we're not dropping it more yet. Like, whatever.
You need her. You need her for sure.
Yesterday was her birthday.
Well, happy birthday to Christine Ogden.
She was fine with it this year. Last year, when she turned 45, she was like, woke up all upset and was like, a little weirded out about it. I'm like, this year she didn't give a fuck. She's like, well, maybe when I turn 50, it's going to freak me out again. I'm like, yeah, probably.
I don't think man. I think once you have that one freak out, it's over after that. You're like, I'm fucking old, whatever. You know, you know what I mean? Like, every year after this doesn't matter. I'm 35 forever now, whatever.
Yeah, it don't. It really doesn't.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. It's like, it happens. It's going to happen. Just fucking, you know, that's life. It begins and it ends. And you get old. You know, you're not young forever. It happens.
And, you listen to Muscle Minds this week, and they had a good little talk. Dr. Scott's father passed away. Rest in peace. Sorry to hear that. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about like how to live life. Like, you know, when I was listening to that, I was sitting thinking about how silly I am for stressing my everyday out about this. You know, like, because in the end, this house is going to sell, and this is all going to be over with. But I still stress myself out every day. You know what I mean? There's nothing I can do to fix it, sort of thing. You know what I mean?
I know how you are, man. I'm kind of like that too. You know, I can identify with how you feel.
And that's probably why we're up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we're doing shows at 7:30 and we got to think about all the things we got to get done before everyone else is even awake.
Yeah, on a Sunday morning when there's when nobody's doing jack shit, anyways.
Oh, but this is a big Sunday for me. The Eagles haven't had a great season. They've had a terrible season.
They have had – they're not good.
But I can't even believe that they still have a chance to win the division. That's how terrible that division is. If they win today against Cowboys, they'll be in first place. But then here's where I think they're going to derail them. Yeah, I think their season's over now. But even if they win, it's going to look good for a week. Then they got two games coming up against the Houston Texans and Rams, and they're going to lose both of them. The Cowboys' schedule is way easier. They're going to win out. The Texans and Rams
are so goddamn dangerous.
Yeah, they're good this year. So it breaks my heart to think that the Dallas Cowboys probably will be the NFC champs and go to the playoffs, and we won't. But we'll follow. I'm going to take 1 week at a time. You know, we'll see what happens.
So big day. Big stressful day for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing this. I got to figure out a time to try to get to the gym, come back, clean this house, or at least help Chrissy clean it. And then we got to be out of here with the freaking dogs.
You got to pack up the F-150 full of dogs, drive down the street, park at your fucking neighbor's house so you can watch your driveway and make sure they leave.
I'm texting you and Scott from the back seat of the F-150 surrounded by my three dogs.
Yeah.
And Stevie and Chrissy were in the front seats, and we're sitting here stalking our own house watching these people come in and out. We're like, hurry up.
Yep, been there many a times. Pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, hilarious. Yeah, yeah.
So what are you training today, Doc, when you get a chance?
Today would be – I did legs yesterday, so I'm starting over again. So it would be back to chest.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
If I get a chance, which I will. I mean, even if I have to go, you know, I think I'll be able to squeeze it in because we don't really have much to do around here except for put some stuff away and I could squeeze it in real quick. But today would be I finished with legs, so then I start my cycle over. So I'll be chest.
Nice. That's a good day for it. That's a nice day where you can kind of focus. You know, that's an easier day to focus on stuff because that's a fun body part to train. You know,
and the funny thing or good thing about me, I can't explain this. I think it's probably something to do with the type of muscles fibers I have in my chest. Is my chest gets so super pumped in like one exercise. I literally probably could do incline bench and leave.
Yeah, like, me too. You know, I get the same way.
Yep. It's like – my chest and delts are like that. I don't know why they're like that, but it's I could do it and literally leave because I know I'd be good. Mm. Like it'll just be pumped to the point where I start to lose my pump after maybe two exercises. Of course, I keep going, but I don't know why. It's like that's always been like that for me. And the funny thing is – and I'm not a strong chester, if you know what I mean. I'm not a strong bencher. I'm not very strong in my chest, but it gets pumped so super easy. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice mind-muscle connection, man. And you know, you've got good pecs. You can tell, you know, that you've got a good connection there. So it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. And you figure it out. You figure that out for yourself, so you're not digging yourself a fucking deep hole. You know, you're not doing 25 different sets for, you know, for chest, right?
No. That's like one of my ones, like, where if someone asked me if I needed to concentrate on something, you know, chest would be one of the exercises I probably could cut out. Like, I probably could, you know, do that, add that in one or two exercises, and it would stay the same, you know?
Sure, you'd be able to maintain it, for sure.
As opposed to, like, my arms, no matter what I do, my biceps won't grow. Mm. It's like, you know, it's bad. I got terrible genetics on my arms. They're like high. I talked about this before. Like, yours are real full, and, you know, they're long. My biceps are like little tennis balls up way close to my delt. It's crazy.
Oh, so okay. So the bellies are short. The bellies are short. Like,
they attach mid. Humorous. Mm. That's what it feels like to me.
Attachment humorous. like you were born with torn biceps.
like the distal bicep tendons, mid humorous.
yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, that's what I feel like. They're so fucking small. I'm like, God damn it.
That's a tough one. That's definitely a tough one. Because then even if you have grown your arms, you must have, you know.
But the
way that the muscle bellies lay and sit and lay over the bones and stuff, it never looks like they grow. But they have.
They have,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. It's funny. That's like – so that body part I really have to do a lot of volume and stuff on, because – it doesn't get pumped easy, and then it doesn't grow easy. So that's just from over the years knowing myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an optical illusion too, you know, because like you and I could potentially even have the same, like, if you took a circumference, we might have the same size arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you'd have.
But the optical illusion, it makes it look like, you know, there's a huge difference there when really there's not physically.
Yeah. Your biceps are super long, mm-hmm. and like, you know what I mean? They attach. You can just see it. You know, you got that classic sort of big, thick peak. And I got a tennis ball up around my clavicle.
Well, you know, it's good. It's all right. It all works out. You're not hitting front double biceps at your clinic every day, you know. not with anyone watching, anyways. You know,
not with anyone watching, in the bathroom, maybe.
Yeah, you're in the, you know, in the, you pass by like a window or any pane of glass, you throw up a front double. Nobody's watching.
So that's the good thing about today. With the time I have, I can knock chest out pretty rapidly and hit it hard. Excuse me, and you know because it's a body part that works for me. I can kill it quick. I can feel it. It'll, you know.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of that. How long are the training sessions right now? Like if you do chest today, I know that you can do like just incline and get and be done. But how long are your training sessions roughly?
Oh no! Right now, well,
legs right now.
Legs were longer, but legs and back are longer. But right now, I can get in and out in 45 minutes.
That's about right, man. You're fine. Yeah. You're good.
Knock it out quick. I go in there. I do a couple warm ups, and then I love it. I do a lot of supersets. I like superset and stuff.
I'm a fan of that too. Yeah,
it gets a good pump in there, and it makes the workout more efficient. And actually, sometimes I feel like I work out better when I'm under the gun, sort of, for time. I just feel like my intensity's higher.
I can see that. I can see that. You're taking shorter rests, and you get the you turn the crazy switch on a little higher, right?
Yeah, I do. I've noticed that for years. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't have a lot of time to train today, and it turns out to be my best training. You know, my best days, that best day of the week. You know, mm-hmm. that I've had.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. 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 Good. Good. I like it. Yeah, I've been for my chest day, which will be tomorrow. I'll go in there and I'll probably start with incline. You know, it's either incline barbell or incline dumbbell. And I'll do like – I do a lot of warm-ups, man. Like I'll do like probably 7 or 8 sets of warm-ups.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then I'll do like 2 working sets. And then and even with those working sets, like I'll only push to like 6 to 8 with a heavy weight that I could probably get for like 10 to 12.
Yeah.
And then I pick my last set, which is – the heaviest I can go for 6 to 8, and I just bomb my chest. You know, if I can get more, I'll do more, but usually I fail around 6 or 7. Immediately drop the weight in half, you know. So if I'm using like the 150s, I'll drop the weight down to the 75s.
That's exactly what I do. I love drop sets like that too.
Love it. So I might get, you know, 6 to 8 reps, the 150s on incline, drop those, grab the 75. I'll take like a 20-second break, though. I don't drop the weight and then...
And then just pick them right up?
No. I wait for my lungs to kind of like catch up with me a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So you take a tiny pause, rest. Like 20, it's not like an immediate drop set.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And then hammer away again. And usually after that, you're done. Like, I've got one more exercise in me
That's about how I do mine, too. Yeah. You know what's funny? I was listening to you talk about benching and stuff on BNR, and you were talking – and I've never been a strong bencher. But funny thing is, you said something like when you're benching, you've only went up to a certain amount of weight, and you felt like you could go further, but you didn't because you're always afraid to get hurt. You always wait for that to come.
Yeah,
that's exactly why I think I've never become a super strong bencher, because when I get to a certain like weight, I start to think about it and I almost get anxiety. Like, what if this is the last time I do that?
Is that the worst feeling?
And then I go to myself, I'm not going pro. I'm keeping it right here.
Yeah, right. See, you're like, fuck it. I guess. The truth is, like, if you can do a weight that's like pretty heavy for like 8 reps or something.
When I was younger, right now that always is on my mind because I see things
the older you get, the worst stuff hurts anyways, right?
I mean, and I got people right around me that it's just happened to. Freddie just blew his pec to shit.
Man,
you know, he had to have surgery. Fred Smalls, he's recovering from that. And then Dave, you know, these guys are right around me, and I'm watching this happen. And they're just a little. Actually, Freddie's a couple years younger than me, but Dave's just a little bit older than me. You know, the quads are blowing out, and I'm like, I don't want to do that.
It's never usually in the gym. It's usually something outside of the gym, you know.
Dave, definitely was.
And for Dave, poor Dave.
I think Fred was actually benching.
That's awful. Yeah. That's what I worry about, and that's why I don't fuck around with too heavy bench press.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just you never know, man. It's like, and you know, you like the last year when I hurt my tricep benching. Like from then on, I'm just like, you know what? I didn't even really need to try to go that heavy. Why was I doing that? And I wasn't going that heavy. I was at 315. I was on my 6th rep, mm-hmm. and it's like fucking. I talked about this last year. So if you want to listen to what happened to me, it was last year. Way in the summer. I can't even remember when it happened now, and I remember, man, I got this searing burn in my tricep. And I was like, oh damn it! And I racked it. And then I was screwed up, and it's kind of never been really the same since. So I don't want that to be my chest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I hear you.
When you said that, because I was like, that's probably why I'm not really strong at that either. Because I don't fucking I get paranoid. Like, okay, I could do this, but it also could hurt me.
It's always pec tears. Always on flat bench. You'll always hear it on flat bench. You'll never hear it from incline or from cable crossovers. But I tore it benching. It's always benching. You know?
Yeah. It's just a big, heavy, stressful movement once you get to a certain weight, you know?
Yeah. I'll probably be the first bodybuilder to tear a pec or tear a bicep doing yoga. So that'll be my claim to fame.
I just took a drink and had ice in it. I apologize. I forgot about that.
Oh, no. You're good. What? It's 8 in the morning, man. What do you got in there? What's going on? You got a little bit of some whiskey in there or something or what?
Yeah, whiskey sour. No, I just had a little my Tang, my little water with the Tang, flavored orange flavored Tang.
Oh, gotcha. So it's not like branch chain amino acids or something, right?
No.
Not yet.
You know I do like to sip.
I know that you do. That's the thing.
When you told me you were ready, I just said, oh, fuck, I gotta get something to drink. So I just threw some water and some ice in a shaker cup. And every time I do that, then I was like, oh, we're recording. The ice is going to move around. I forgot about it. I remember my first time. It might have been my first or second time with Minerad. It's the worst recording ever. Like when you listen to it, if you go back and listen.
I remember, actually.
The ice was just everywhere.
I remember the ice. I was like, oh, yeah, this sound likes his ice.
Oh, yeah. It was the shaker cup like this.
That's the sound.
It was like every 3 minutes, and I didn't even realize that these microphones were so sensitive that I was being real careful with it, but it was like
Oh yeah. There's a learning curve, man. Eventually you get better, you know. These podcasting, there's always something. Always something pops up. It's, you know, troubleshooting. Yeah. That's all we do over here.
That's funny.
What do you say, Doc, that we get to some of the questions and some of the updates that we had from the Advices Radio forum?
Yeah, sounds good. I don't think we have a ton of questions. We do have a good bit, but we got some good updates, and let's do it.
All right, cool. Wait, you had an article that you kind of wanted to dissect
I almost forgot about that.
I think it's important for people to hear this. This is interesting stuff.
All right. Yeah. So, first of all, the topic of the article is a little sensitive. So what I was annoyed at was just, I have to explain myself, but I don't want anyone to take offense to this. But first of all, every month or so, I get a journal article in the mail, and it's called American Family Physician. And basically what it is, it's a review. It has all reviews on, you know, keep you up to date. You can do CMEs, your tests in it and stuff to keep you up to date on stuff. And it usually has – it'll have a review article about an illness like chickenpox. And then it'll have – the next month you'll have how to treat cellulitis or the risks of blood clots. So you get my point, and it keeps you up to date on so you don't forget shit. How to treat the most current up to date on asthma, whatever. Mm-hmm. So this month, the big topic is caring for transgender and gender diverse persons. Now, that really didn't bother me at all until I start reading the article. And then there's this article basically takes you through how to approach people who have that issue, what to look for, how to, you know, test their labs, and then how to treat them with hormone therapy. And my issue with that was that it basically tells me exactly what to do to make a guy a girl and vice versa, even to the effect that says that if they elect to do hormone therapy, they just should consent for it and make sure they're informed of the potential irreversible changes in physical appearance, fertility potential, social circumstances, as well as other potential benefits and risks. It says not all gender diverse persons require to seek hormone therapy. However, those who receive treatment generally report improvement in quality of life, self-esteem, and anxiety. It tells me that I should use feminizing hormone therapy, which includes estrogen and antiandrogens, to decrease the serum testosterone level. This would be to take a boy to a girl,
right?
To decrease serum testosterone level to below 50, while maintaining the serum estradiol level around 200. This therapy will reduce muscle mass, libido, hair, increase breast development and fat redistribution, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's awesome in case I ever run into this, where I'll know how to treat it, I'll know what to do. But my point is, my what really got me in the gut was like, if we take this and reverse it and put a normal, quote, a male who just wants higher testosterone levels or whatever to look like more of a male, mm-hmm. to be better male.
Yeah, or feel like a fucking male. How about that?
Feel like a male or build some muscle even.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
It's fucking double, triple standard bullshit.
Isn't that crazy? It blew my mind. I was like, I'm cool with it. Like, I love that. I think this is awesome. We should be like – making sure we treat everybody the way they want to be treated. We should be giving them, you know, helping them do what they want. Like, I should be able to turn you into a 350-pound muscle monster if I want to.
Right.
If you sign off and say, look, I know the effects of these androgens. I know the effects of these anabolics. I know it could kill my liver, my heart. Cholesterol is going to be bad, blah, blah, blah. But I really want to do this, doc, because I want to look better. I want to feel better. I like the way I look. It's the same thing. It's just in reverse.
It's the exact same thing. I identify as a bodybuilder. How about that?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm not a male or female. I'm a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing, that thing that irritated me was, I guess this is just, and it's great. And they even talking about the reverse of giving girls hormones, to giving them the testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
It says masculinizing hormone therapy includes testosterone to increase serum levels from around 320 to 1,000. So that's where you want to get a girl to turn her into a guy. Anticipated changes include acne, scalp, hair loss, voice deepening, vaginal atrophy, clitoral megaly, weight gain, facial and body hair growth, and increased muscle mass. Why is that okay to do that to a girl,
mm-hmm.
but I can't make a guy have more muscles with anabolics mm-hmm. or just testosterone? Like, how many guys do we read on these forums who go to get TRT and it's hard for them? They're like going to these special clinics where they're getting it through mail order and they got to go, but they go to their doctor and the doctor says, no way, I can't help you with that. It blew my mind.
Like,
yeah, it's just, I think the big thing, my point is, and I think this is awesome. I think everyone has the right to do what they want.
For sure.
And I would be the doctor that would be willing to help you do that if I were in practice. So that's not my point. I have nothing against that. You know, I'm not trying to get in. I just think it's crazy how people – a guy who wants more testosterone has trouble finding it.
Yeah, of course. And that's the – I mean, and that's the stigma that we've basically been fighting for the past 35, 40 years, you know, ever since the introduction of anabolics, you know. It's like now it's okay to give girls steroids to become boys, but you can't give boys steroids. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, I guess if a female bodybuilder was starting off and she really wanted to take it to the next level, she could go to her doctor and just tell them she wanted to become a girl,
yeah,
a boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They could get her there.
They could get good standard of care. I mean, at least something, you know?
Because all they have to do is sign off on the potential, you know, patient must consent to therapy after being informed of the potential irreversible changes. But so my point is, I think even medicine has fallen victim to social conformity and political correctness, which is horrible. I think this is great. I thought it was a great article, by the way, and there was some information that I didn't know about. But I just was kind of like, that's crazy that they would like, if I had a whole clinic full of guys TRT, they would be looking at my clinic, like making sure I wasn't going above the levels or da da da. But I mean, if I had people who wanted to go reverse from a guy to a girl and I did that for them, I don't think anyone would even bat an eye.
Nope. No one would give a fuck.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like I said, man, triple standards. It's bullshit stuff. It's crazy.
No matter what, which way you look at it, you're still dealing with hormones. Whether you're giving a guy more hormones, a guy less hormones, a girl more hormones, a guy, but it's just that social, like you said, the stigma.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to a guy wanting to be more of a guy, it's just not.
Falls through to clinical practice too, because for decades doctors have been so scared to offer testosterone to a man. But now they've got, you know, free and clear of any liability to give testosterone to a woman because she feels like a boy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing to me.
Insane. Like,
so,
insane.
Yeah. So anyway, I texted you guys that the other day when I
It's a good discussion, and it's a good eye opener too for anyone who's listening and because a lot of these like a newer listener, you know, they come from this newer generation where, you know, hashtag Me Too, you know, everyone's and that's a good thing, because you know these young people are more accepting of every equality, you know, they're making stuff up too, like Zims and Zers and you know, trans and I don't know what the fuck. You can't even say trans no more. I don't know. I don't care. But, you know, they're more accepting of it, you know. Yeah. And so
And like with that, I'm fine with whatever you want to be. You can call yourself an alien. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's great. I don't care what religion you are, what color you are. I love people. I do what I do. And my point is, I should be able to treat people the same, though. Like, if you came to me and were like, oh, man, I'm 40 now. I notice my muscles are getting smaller no matter how hard I train, or, you know, my wife and I are having trouble. And I should be able to give you all the tests you need, whatever. Like, and I know I could, but my point is, doctors, we still trust me.
Yeah.
Family doctors, especially, maybe
scrutiny.
Not these clinics, but they have that in the back of their mind all the time. So they're going to give you the minutest dose you could possibly get, and you know, because they just don't want to be scrutinized. They don't want. It's still that stigma thing. But the opposite team. But now I got a whole article right here telling me that I'd be in gold standard of care if I did this way.
Mm-hmm.
To back me up. Well, you know what I mean. You see what I'm saying, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. That's my only point. And I don't have that for the other. So anyway,
that was interesting. I think it'll change eventually. I mean, if we can get some of these millennials to speak up and be offended for us, I think we can get something done. You know?
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
I identify as a bodybuilder. Give me a DECA.
Exactly. I mean, if you were to consent to treatment, you knew the risks, and you monitored your levels with your doctor, I don't see any difference in that. And if you also wanted to go reverse, if you wanted me to basically castrate you chemically, right?
I mean,
give you tons of estrogen, give you anti-androgens, knock your shit way down and help you become – and I would totally be – hey, I wouldn't judge you as long as I knew you weren't doing it for, you know, because your mental health was okay, you know, whatever. It's what it is. I even have a couple people I know that, and they're good people who are transgender or whatever the appropriate term is. I'm not real good with that, so I don't
mean anything. I don't give a fuck either.
So. I try to be right, but I just never could figure it out. So
yeah, me neither. And you can't keep it straight, man. There's too much of that stuff right now, you know?
Yeah. That, it is too. But, you know, it's just a crazy like sort of thing. When I came across it, I was like, wow, it's telling me how to do this, but I'm not sure I've ever read an article that told me how to give a guy testosterone.
Yep. And yeah,
it's in my magazine that I get once a month. You know what I mean?
It's so crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Bizarre, unfair, a bunch of bullshit, and hopefully it'll correct itself over time. But, man, it's like these you know, if women wanted to change into men, it's such a big deal right now. You know, that hormone therapy, that even healthcare is being like, oh, gosh, well, then hormone therapy is completely okay. Then it should eventually trickle down to fucking males, too. You know what I mean?
You would think. I mean, you would think. It even talks about teenagers, how to deal with that.
Holy Christ.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy. It's a good article, though. Anyway.
All right. Yeah, that can be a whole different other soapbox, right?
Oh, for sure.
Giving hormones to kids, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they have that one show, you know, the young – I forget the show that was on.
He's a young transgender somewhere?
Yeah, I forget her name. Anyway, she's like a big activist. I forget. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into that whole thing. No, that segment opens up cans of worms like religion and politics.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I just wanted to stick to the medical part of it, you know?
That's a rabbit hole. That's a rabbit hole for sure.
Exactly, for sure, for sure.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Well, from the Advices Radio Network forum, that's forum.advicesradio.com. You go to the opening page there, go to bodybuilding and discussion link. That takes you to all the shows, Clinical Muscle, Muscle Minds, Drugs and Stuff, Blood, Sweat and Gear, all the good stuff there. And you can post your questions there. You can do it anonymously. It's really good. Works really well so far. Everyone's been really good about posting on there. And even if they want to remain anonymous, they absolutely can. Like I said, we don't have our Gmail account or email account anymore. We have it, but we don't check it. That's the end. It's not going to work anymore. So from here, the forum.advicesradio.com page here, let's go to the first question. And it's a Thanksgiving question, Doc. We totally forgot. Like, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah. Good.
Had some treats and some – well, it's not like I haven't had treats, but yeah.
So I'm a brown guy, okay? So our Thanksgivings and when we grew up might have been completely different, you know, and like the taste and the stuff that we put out there is different than the average white people. So
right,
what did you do – what is your family thing to do for Thanksgiving that maybe nobody else does?
Oh, probably nothing. I think my family's pretty white traditional when it comes to Thanksgiving.
We're basic white.
I think, we have like, it's like the pilgrim dinner, you know, you got the potatoes, the freaking turkey, the cranberry sauce stuffing, right? I mean, that's okay. Pretty basic. All right. Maybe the only other thing we do to other people don't is fight a lot the whole day.
Show your love. Yeah.
Scream and yell. It's so relaxing.
And then you got the games on too. On TV, you got NFL going. Yeah. You're screaming at the TV too.
And then it hits. Then you just want to go into a carb coma. But we had the traditional basic white guy dinner. Yep. You know, both on that.
Yeah. I mean, my wife is white, and she, you know. Her mom and her sister are like world class bakers. She is too. She's a fucking phenomenal cookie maker and baker altogether.
Yeah, she makes them special cookies. I know.
Yeah. So, they do. They make like this like cranberry salad. It's not really a salad. It's like cranberries with marshmallows. It's basically a fucking dessert.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, there's cranberries. There's marshmallows. There's like a gelatin base of some kind. I'm like, that's not cranberry sauce. It's far right. better. Whatever it is, it's not cranberry sauce.
Is it like, do they refrigerate it and make it into a gel?
It's kind of, it's between, it's not even a gel because you can see like the full pieces of marshmallows that are in there and stuff, you know? It's hard to explain, but
sounds fucking good, though.
It's goddamn delicious. It doesn't Yeah, it doesn't even look like it belongs. It's so fucking good. It's like a dessert. And then they make these rolls with sweet potato and butter and white bread, but they all turn out in the color of sweet potato, and they're the best fucking rolls you've ever had in your life.
Damn, that sounds really good. I've never had a sweet potato roll.
Sweet potato bread rolls. Unfucking believable. There's never any left at the end of the day.
Yeah, that sounds yummy. Yeah,
she makes like 4 dozen of those things. They're all gone by the end. So,
yeah, my mom always did the we've never done it. They always, you know, like I said, the desserts, pumpkin pie or apple pie, you know, traditional kind of.
Yeah, we had apple pie. We had pecan pie.
And I saw one. I thought about you the other day. I was in Sam's Club.
Oh, man.
Which is like a Costco.
Yep, yep.
Okay, you guys got Sam's out there. Anyway, and this pecan pie they had, this motherfucker must have been 6 inches deep, bro.
Like Jesus Christ.
It was probably – must have weighed 35 pounds. Oh, I was looking God. At that son of a bitch like, wonder how many fucking calories one slice would be.
That's – I mean it has to be the calorically most dense pie on earth. Has to be.
Yeah.
I would put my life on it.
Yeah.
And one that's 6 inches deep.
I might have been less than that, but you get my point.
The deeper it is, the more calorically dense it is, I promise you, you know?
It was a thick-ass, heavy-ass pie. I was like, holy shit, that's a big pie.
That's a monster pie. And I'm only talking about the food here because our first question, it says, most studies to date show that the average Thanksgiving meal is between 3,000 and 4,500 calories. Does that feel low, high, or accurate to you? He says, also related, I'll talk about your own Thanksgiving feast and approximate macro madness. You know,
oh, my God. Well,
you know, I saw this question before and I kind of did the math in my head real quick. You know, I think like the average, like your first plate, even like your second plate or third plate, you know, if you add all that together, maybe I'm thinking like 100 grams of protein. 500 grams of carb, and that, you know, that's including some of the desserts and stuff too. 500 to 600 grams of carb, and then maybe 200 grams of fat. Altogether, that's roughly 4,000 calories.
Yeah, you know what's funny? This is a tough one for me, and I'll tell you why. Because I have to think about the old me and the me now. Because
go with you now.
I would say I'd probably be a little bit lower than the 4,000 because I actually purposely still try not to stuff my face. Even though I eat the good stuff, I try to keep it like, you know, I don't eat stuffing. I may not eat any rolls. I might not. I'll just have the meat, the cranberry and kind of vegetable and maybe a little bit of like the potatoes and then some dessert. I still do that to myself now. Now, when I was younger – I might have been way above that because I just eat all day long. So like, but I would think if I really took an average person like someone else, like who they're just going to town, I think that's probably seems about right. 3,000, 4,000 area.
Yeah, I think that's.
I mean, because that's a hell of a lot of food. Even if your plate looks like it's got a lot of food on it, I mean that's still 4,000 calories in one meal is a lot of food. So you know, even if you got seconds, you probably still would hit that. I think that's probably about right.
I think so too. I think so too. And I was doing my own macro manipulation on that, and I was just thinking to myself, and including, you know, the half a pie I ate. I think roughly like, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 calories is what I had. And I'm on the extreme end though, because I have an appetite that's bigger than most people, you know.
Well, see, that's where I would be too. But I try to reel it in still, even for, you know, I don't go full bore because this year I try to keep it reel it in a little bit only because we were eating twice because I went to both her mom's and my mom's house. And gotcha. We don't always do that, so I kind of divvied it up.
You got
two
Thanksgivings. You got to pace yourself. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to fall asleep, you know, driving from one house to another after my – but, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably about right. That seems like – especially because, like you said, you – you know, the way you just broke it down, that seems like that would be about right. I think that would be about right for me on a full bore, like if I was not trying to – keep it to a minimum, you know?
Yeah. I think it's funny that the whole serotonin thing or the tryptophan thing is still – like people are still talking about that. Like with all the information and all the dietary like breakthroughs that we've had in the last like 30 years, people are still saying, oh, don't eat too much turkey. You're going to get tired from the tryptophan. It's like, no. Fucking people are nuts, man.
For me, I can eat all the turkey I want. It's the freaking other stuff that gets me to sleep.
I mean, if that were the case, bodybuilders would be fucking asleep all the time.
Asleep all day.
Yeah, all the time. You know, it's just the dumbest thing. You know, like, it never crosses their mind that, oh, the giant surge in blood sugar and consequent crash from overproduction of insulin has nothing to do with my tiredness.
From your half a plate of potatoes and your rolls that you're eating since you got there.
Yeah. Half a pecan pie, of course, you know.
Oh, there is this one thing I did have, though, that may have pushed it up a little high quickly. But I didn't eat a ton of it, but it was almost addicting. My sister-in-law makes something called monkey bread.
Oh, I've heard of this thing. Yes.
It's like Cinnabon, except in a big cake, like smashed all together.
Fuck yeah. You just pull
pieces off.
Monkey bread.
It's like a giant, huge Cinnabon, but it's like breakable. You know, you pull little chunks off and you pop them. And each one of those little chunks probably has 200 calories, guy. You know, you eat about 12 of them and you're like deep. Mm. But it's so addicting. It's like I said, it's like a Cinnabon if you know what I mean? Except it's on a big plate and it's smashed all up. I never seen how she made it, but it's almost like pieces that are all put together, but you just break them off into little cinnamon somethings. And they're just so delicious. It's very good stuff.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's fucking yummy.
It reminds me of the
literally have to take. You got to walk away from it though.
Monkey bread. Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, my mother-in-law makes her own sit. Like when she has, because she makes the dough for that sweet potato bread, right? And then she always has a little bit left over, and so she makes cinnamon buns with that shit.
Oh yeah,
and it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'd imagine it tastes a lot like that monkey bread.
Yeah, that's it is. It's on that same thing, but it's just like sitting in the middle of the table and it's
with some sweet potato in it though.
Oh yeah, that sounds delicious.
So it's extra moist and yummy.
It's extra healthy.
Mm-hmm. Extra healthy. Yeah. It'll bring your insulin spike down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not as high in the glycemic index.
Yeah.
Doc, we have another couple of entries here from the page here. Are these updates or are these?
I'm gonna help you out.
Yeah,
you can skip the next one.
Okay.
Go to the one that's 249.
Okay, gotcha. So, he must have had a question from before that we answered.
Yeah, he quoted it. Okay. This was the guy who asked about vertigo.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. All right, so he says, thanks for answering my questions, guys. Dr. Ogden, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I saw an ENT, and he did some tests where he blew cold and hot air into my ears. He also checked for BPPV, and that was ruled out. What's BPPV?
One of the things I was talking about. It's just benign vertigo. Oh,
gotcha. He told me I had labyrinthitis, but he was not sure of the cause. He said a virus could be the cause, but he seemed unsure. Usually it's viral. I think he was right because I was feeling tired as fuck for 3 days straight, and I could not stay awake, as if my body was fighting something off. Anyway, I have another question. I am going on week 7 in a few days of having this dizziness, and it's still not going away. The ENT says it will eventually, and to give it time. Then he prescribed me some fucking Valiums.
Oh wow! Well,
weird.
I don't know if he tried anything before that, but you could easily get what I talked about. It's called Meclizine. It's antivert over the counter, actually, and that might be something to try instead of taking Valium, because I obviously Valium will work because that's what we do when it's severe. Usually I don't give anyone a benzo like that unless they're in the hospital and they're like puking their brains out. It's just their vertigo's off the chart. Because, you know, it's got the potential for, you know, abuse and habit forming and all that stuff. But that is a medicine we do give, though. So, I mean, he's kind of on the right thing. But he said – did he say it's been 7 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's guys going on week 7.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bit long. I mean, if it were me as the patient, my next thing would be if this didn't go away soon would be I'd be pushing to get some kind of scan.
Yeah,
like an MRI to make sure nothing was going on in my inner ear, because that's a long time. Usually it goes away within a couple, you know, 1-2 weeks. And then people can get it chronically where, you know, might go away for 2 weeks but come back in 2 weeks too.
Yeah, that was what I was wondering. Like I see that he's had it for almost 7 weeks, but has the severity decreased at all? Has it felt like it was getting better, but you're still dizzy? Because, you know, sometimes nervous tissue can take a long, long, long time to heal, but 7 weeks is pretty long, you know?
That's really long. And long and annoying, by the way, because he probably feels like crap when it happens. I'm glad we helped him out and he got on the right track, though. But if it continues, man, first of all, you could probably try to go over the counter if you haven't done that and pick up something like Antivert or Meclizine or even Dramamine, which is car sickness medicine, for because motion basically sickness. What you have, it's motion sickness, and that might be a little bit might help your symptoms and won't have any potential for Valium, like Valium does for habit forming and all that ugliness, but we do use it for people, so that's not a bad choice. I mean, he's doing the right thing, but I think 7 weeks is long. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Glad we helped you out a little bit.
Yeah. Next question from the boards. Great show. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
You know what? This is another follow-up.
This is a follow-up? All right, cool. Cool. I like follow-ups.
We talked about squatting on the last show.
Yep.
And I said I avoided it because my lower back gets tight and pumped. And I don't think it's pain. And we talked about I said that I was doing some ab work in between the set when I get that. And it seemed to help a little bit. I think this guy he wanted to give me some more information or sort of help me out a little bit.
Good, good, good.
So he followed up.
He says, I just wanted to share my experience with severe muscle pump in my lower back from compound leg movements. He says, it happens to a few of my clients as well, so I decided to really experiment on prevention and relief, assuming your pelvic position is normal. If you feel pain immediately, shorten the psoas, the positional release. That's why crunches help. Then you can do self-MET PNF. I don't know what he means by that. Peripheral nervous. I don't know what that is. Laying on the floor to basically reset the tone of the psoas. I see. To prevent this or slow it, I recommend starting your leg day with extensions leaning forward. Do not activate the psoas. Then do core exercises that do not activate the psoas. You need rectus abdominis to be a better player. I agree with that part. If you balance your postural phasic muscles better, then you'll have a smoother leg day. He says, hope this helps.
Yeah, awesome. And I think he must be like a physical therapist or something like that.
Yeah. Because he's definitely using some learned terms there.
Yeah. Medical stuff. Mm-hmm. That's great, man. Yeah. We'll take it. We'll take help with our stuff too. Hey,
yeah,
we'll,
for sure.
Like yeah. I said, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a pain in the ass. I might try some of this stuff because, I do get it on. I get terrible back pumps, and sometimes it inhibits my ability to go a little bit, further with my legs than I I want to go heavier. I want to do it, but then it's like there. But yeah, that's good, man.
Thank you. That's I'm not sold on the I think rectus abdominis is a overstressed muscle. You've got layers to your abdomen. You've got your transverse layer. You've got your diagonal layer. You've got oblique layer. There's a lot of different layers that actually contract differently. But because we're bodybuilders, we focus on rectus abdominis the most of the time. And you can get that overdeveloped pretty easily in your abs. It can get really strong. As a result, that can pull your pelvis back. And, you get like a – I forgot what it's called, but it's, the position of the pelvis can change as a result of the tight musculature in the abdomen.
Yeah, you can get like a rotation or
right.
like a pelvic tilt.
Yes, pelvic tilt backwards, essentially.
Right.
And so, a lot of your back issues might become like overcompensating, and then you, of course, as a result, you get a crazy back pump,
Well, one thing I think would help my back, and I know this, and I just I should act on it, but is I have terribly tight hamstrings, and that also will cause a posterior pelvis to rotate.
Yep.
So I do try to stretch them out a lot, but it seems like I can stretch them and get them feeling better, but they'll go right back to being tight again. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it, but all that stuff together, that's good information.
Yeah, it's good. Vacuums. Vacuum, vacuum, vacuum. Vacuums are the best thing that you can do to decrease those lower back pumps. You work those transverse abdominis and some of the deeper layers of the abdomen. Also, it kind of activates a little bit of quadratus lumborum while you're stretching those muscles back, like sucking in your stomach, doing a vacuum, trying to wrap it around your spine. You'll feel those quadratus lumborum act up, and once they get a little bit activated, a lot of times they just kind of lay dormant because we're bodybuilders. We don't, you know, and most bodybuilders are wearing belts all the time too. So it's never,
I'm doing it right now.
There you go. See? So you'll feel it.
I'm sucking in.
Me too. Me too. Right now.
I'm also squeezing my butt cheeks.
Next question from the board. He says, got a question for you, Docs. Not sure if this is the best show to answer, but I've talked with you both about my latest run-in with D-Ball, so I figured I'd start here. I've been running Novaldex for about 2.5 weeks. Started around 40 milligrams a day for about a week, now running 20 milligrams a day. Seen a dramatic difference in the small lump or inflammation under the nipple. It's mostly gone. Going to continue for another few weeks and see if it gets smaller. The question is about the skin around the nipple. It seems to be slightly inflamed or droopy. Not noticeable to probably anyone but me, honestly, but curious if it's just a time issue or something I can take to help promote the process of eliminating it. He says the slight change doesn't seem to be because of the lump behind it. Possible that it's just because I'm in a surplus calorically. Never noticed it before. I've enjoyed the off season. Thanks for the. Okay, so most likely it's just body fat and fluid. That's it.
Yeah. The only thing we're dealing with a guy, so this, you know, less likely of a problem. But whenever someone has skin changes around their nipples, that's always a little more concerning. But and you know, I don't know if he means inflamed as in tender or inflamed as in he can see redness.
You know what I think he means? I think that he means that it's puffy.
Okay.
That because it's puffy
if
looking.
If he meant inflamed as in redness, that's a little bit more concerning to me for something else going on, you know.
People think that just because stuff is swollen looking that it's inflammation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. To me that was a big word that put me on like high alert. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean I agree with you. I think it's probably, you know, if he's just in a gaining phase, it could be just that. Just a little bit of inflammation fluid kind of thing or from weight, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what he's doing for an aromatase inhibitor, but if he's fucking with D-Ball, he's only using Novaldex to shrink a lump. You know, you still have circulating estrogens. They're still over there, and a lot of times that can create a lot of extra water retention, and you'll notice it in your puffy nipples.
Yeah, this is one of those questions we must have talked about. We must have answered a question before, mm-hmm. and I don't remember it exactly.
Me neither. Yeah,
so,
me neither.
So if I did, that probably would help us. But yeah, I mean, that's the other thing I thought of too. If he's only using that, he might want to consider running some other type of estrogen protection, mm-hmm. you know?
Chances are his estrogen's too high. He's got to run an aromatase inhibitor.
To get some lead work too if you haven't done that. Maybe he already has. But
Right.
Yeah, just as long as you don't see any actual skin changes like redness or thickening of the skin, that's a whole different ballgame. You want to see a doctor for that.
Yeah, redness and pain, never a good thing.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, it's probably just, like you said, hormonal. Maybe his estrogens are high. Get that checked and, you know.
I think what they teach you in school, it's like Ruber, tumor, and dolor. You got those things, you're fucked. Go get it looked right away.
So I haven't heard that in a long time, but I remember that.
That was I remember that from school because it rhymed. I was like, oh, that's a nice way to remember cancer.
Well, here's one thing about this description. If this was a female and mm-hmm. and they did have redness and skin changes, mm-hmm. that's a specific red flag for us. I don't want him to ignore this. See the guy who ignore this because I doubt it's you. But mm-hmm.
for a
female, if they had nipple redness, you know, skin thickening around that area, mm-hmm. that's a red flag for a specific kind of breast cancer called inflammatory breast cancer.
Yeah. Be careful.
It's diagnosed a lot as cellulitis.
Really? Because it's so superficial?
It's missed often, you know. They'll come in the first couple of times and die, oh, you got a little skin infection. Give them some antibiotics. It doesn't go away. And then once they come back and it didn't go away, then you got – I mean, I don't think I've ever done this. But, I mean, I know this is – it's taught to me that this can be you know, missed easy. Think it's cellulitis. It's not. You have to get a mammogram, ultrasound, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why when he said inflammation, I think you're probably right. But my mind, I'm like, oh, God, I hope there's nothing else going on.
Yeah. No, I was actually on the page with you. When I heard inflammation, I was like, whoa, that's not good. And then I realized kind of what he was talking about. It's more
probably
like
looks a little thicker, a little heavier.
Just puffy. Just bloated out a little bit.
Bloated out a little bit. Yeah.
Looks like he's got a second question here, though. So he says, second question, there seems to be a very increased amount of CBD products usage, et cetera, in the industry. If inflammation is part of muscle building in progress, wouldn't these products be more detriment, or am I missing something? It says maybe the benefits of cortisol suppression and other things. Okay. I don't know. I don't really even know where to start here. Okay, so Doc, what do you have any ideas?
Yeah, well, here's my. I don't have a article quote me or anything, and I'm not a huge. I don't have the biggest knowledge on CBD and its effect on inflammation. But here's my thinking. I think anti-inflammatory products like CBD and even like curcumin, things that help with joints and things like that, I think they have an effect on keeping inflammation from being pathologic. Meaning,
yes, good way of putting it.
Right. Like I think, you know, we're all going to go in and train. Everything's going to get sore. It's going to recover. Our body's going to do what it needs to do. We're going to eat our food. We're going to rest, blah, blah. And that kind of inflammation we don't really want to mask. But these kind of products aren't going to have that effect – that big of an effect on that.
They're not designed to eliminate inflammation.
Right, exactly. This is more like you want to keep your baseline – you know, inflammation in your body to a non-pathologic level.
Yes.
Joints healthy, right? Joints healthy. Coronary inflammation. We know that coronary artery disease is an inflammatory process. That's what this is helping with. You're still going to go in. You're still going to stimulate muscle. You're still going to get the lactic acid build up, all the inflammatory things that happen. You're going to get sore. You're going to recover. It's not going to really have that big of a issue. Sort of inhibiting your muscle growth, at least I don't think based on that. Just like if you take an ibuprofen, okay? If you wake up and you have a headache, you take an ibuprofen. You go to the gym, you know, later on that day, I don't think that ibuprofen is going to make a big bit of difference. Now, if you took it a half an hour before you trained, it may do something. It may, but that's only for one day. You know, it's only that one time. But I think these products are more helping with chronic inflammation, keeping inflammatory levels down in the body, so you don't get joint aches, you don't have joint pains, and things like that. That's what I think about this. I don't think it's going to affect that at all.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to understand, and this is the part that most people don't get, because, you know, biology is very in-depth, you know. It's the fact that, you know, inflammation, healing, fat loss, anabolism, catabolism, all these things happen concurrently. They're all happening at the fucking same time, just at different levels. You know what I mean? And as a bodybuilder, they're happening all the time, literally. Because you're always training, you're always eating, you're trying to, you know, lose fat, build muscle at the same time. You're damaging muscle, trying to create hypertrophy, and you need inflammation, but you need healing. So you got to think about all these things all at once. You know, it's like all these things are happening all together, all at once, and using an anti-inflammatory is not gonna knock the cycle out of place. You know what I mean? It's not like the doc says. It doesn't eliminate jack shit. What it will do is keep it in check so that you're getting a regulated amount of inflammatory process that's necessary for healing. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's always non-pathologic stuff and pathologic stuff, you know, and in people with arthritic diseases, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, that's all pathologic inflammation. That's the kind of inflammation we want to keep at bay.
Yeah.
You go in and train and you swell your muscle up and make it hurt and break it down. We're not really going to stop that with that,
yeah,
you know, with a CBD oil or whatever else you want to say. But it may help keep your baseline levels lower so that you're not feeling the aches and pains, your joints are healthier, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that kind of thing.
And CBD works in a different manner than like an NSAID would. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not directly affecting all like your pain receptors and stuff. And CBD works with your endocannabinoid system, which is a system that we as medical practitioners or medical people have little to no understanding of. You know,
I agree with you. It's total. Right. Like I still am very, you know, my education level on that is that of anyone who's listening right now.
Right. Sure. Right. It's like,
Just fool. I mean, I'm just being honest.
We're not taught this stuff. Anything that I know is from personal experience and from lots and lots of research. You know.
Yeah.
And so, and so,
in your case, personal research.
Yes, personal, daily, multiple times a day research. So, with an endocannabinoid system, you're essentially, you know, the cannabidiol, which is CBD, is attaching to the little receptor sites that are endocannabinoid related receptor sites, whether they're on the muscle, in the system somewhere, on bone tissue, on whatever it is. We've got those receptor sites all over. And it's more of a I don't know, man. It's more of like a masking more than anything else, I think. I don't know that it necessarily relates to the whole inflammatory process.
Yeah.
What it does do is kind of take the edge off of the feeling of inflammation, I think, is what I end up doing.
Well, if for me, when you talk about CBD and THC and marijuana and its effects on muscles, all you have to do is look at Arnold Schwarzenegger and watch Pump.
Yep. Watch Pumping Iron.
Them guys were smoking weed back then. It don't look like it affect their physique. Yep, I mean, I'm exactly. just saying. That could be all you need to know. Right
hey,
there.
Man, Robbie Robinson was a huge pothead. In fact, all those guys were potheads. They fucking best physiques in the history of bodybuilding, right?
Yeah. I mean, it probably helped them eat.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure.
That's probably why they did it. You know. So anyway, I'm sure we'll learn more about that as we go along.
Oh yeah.
That was my thinking about that question. I mean, I hope I helped a little bit, but yeah.
You were right on.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to affect your training. It might just save your knees from exploding earlier than they need to.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
At least help. You know, a little bit
because they're going to explode anyway.
Exactly.
It's just delaying things.
Speaking of anti-inflammatories, not just on it, but really though. A lot of bodybuilders, we worry, you know, people worry about our livers, our kidneys. Just so everyone knows, I'm sure you guys know this, that anti-inflammatories, especially non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Motrin, Motrin, ibuprofen, Aleve, naproxen, diclofenac, all those non-steroidals are terrible for your kidneys.
Mm-hmm. Liver.
You don't want to be chewing ibuprofen every day because your back hurts. That's a quicker way to shut your kidneys down than probably running grams of, you know, anabolics. So, in my opinion, you do that for 10 years straight. You take Motrin 3 times a day, 10 years, your creatinine is going to be off the chart. Mm-hmm. That stuff should be used as needed only. Like when you wake up with a pounding headache and you have a show to do.
Yeah.
And I don't even like taking it then. I am very, very – I do not like taking anti-inflammatories. I hate – because I'm so paranoid about the kidney, liver stuff and all that, you know, my health. So anyway, that just made me think about that. So some of these newer, quote, natural products, I mean, I don't know totally everything yet, but I mean, that's something that's definitely beneficial to other types of anti-inflammatories. I mean, because NSAIDs are terrible for your kidneys. So just keep that in mind if you guys are eating 800 of Motrin 3 times a day because you want to keep training, you know?
Yeesh. Yeah.
All right. That was another little sidebar.
Last question, actually more of a kind of an update also. I don't remember exactly what was happening with this patient, but it has to do with his prostate. Do you remember?
He's having a lot of lower urinary tract symptoms.
And he's been
baffled. Really, they haven't found a whole lot wrong.
And just remind me, what were these symptoms? Because he keeps
pain.
Seeing symptoms.
Pubic pain, urinating problems, and he's had literally everything worked up. He's had some small kidney stones found, which were in an area of the kidney that really shouldn't cause any trouble. He's had prostate stuff. Checked. He's had this and that. Really, they can't get to the bottom of it. And last show, we talked about, let's think outside the box here. What other things in that area could it be? And I mean, I rambled about some stuff, but the one thing I remember talking about was, you know, his PSA had changed. Even though it was both normal, it had increased in the normal level. So like, you know, we always talk about trend is your friend, or maybe it's not your friend. Mm. If you see something that's in a normal level, but it continues to increase, you might want to delve into further that. And then I talked about sports hernias, you know, cause you can get that super pubic pain with them and they're not necessarily a hole.
Yeah.
Bunch of stuff. So I think he's just given us, he's been getting this worked up for a while. And I think he's just given us some information.
Yeah. He took the time to type all this stuff out. I'm going to go ahead and read it. He says, I really appreciate your discussion of my problem on the show. My urologist seems to be out of ideas, so I went back to my PCP, which I'll tell you about. But I wanted to clarify, correct a few things before as relating to the last podcast. One is that I did have a digital rectal exam in August, September. time frame, and all was okay then. Next, good. I worried about the trend in my PSA number. But when I saw my PCP Wednesday, he filled in some missing data. 1 year ago, I had approximate 1.8 PSA, and the most recent one, which is October 2018, his PSA was 1.7. So he's so within
it got,
limit.
It got, yeah, it got better.
He's good. He's good. So he says, So I described the entire history to my family doctor, and he devised a three-part regimen to try in series. For the first 10 days, he gave me a prescription for doxycycline in case I have some kind of infection. I don't think this is the case, though, since every time I went to the urologist's office, they checked for that. But I feel better after 10 days. We stop. If I still have the symptoms, then I start a 10-day cycle of Bentil, which is disoclamine.
Yep. I'll tell you what that is.
Okay. 10 milligrams.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm. He says, which is a soft tissue relaxer. It's a muscle relaxer, right? Or, okay. Smooth muscle relaxer. So it's like. He said it is used in bladder issues and IBS. That will be used as needed when I have symptoms. If that seems to work, we stop. If not, for the third 10-day period, we try 10 milligrams of Lioricel?
Yeah, baclofen.
Baclofen, which is a skeletal muscle relaxer. That would be used only before bedtime or on any day I had the symptoms. So he says, within a month, we should be a bit more knowledgeable about what's going on. I'm pleased with this plan because at least he seems to be concerned about my pain. What do you guys think of this?
Okay. Well, first of all, I know this story, and we've been, you know, he's had a ton of stuff done, and I actually feel bad for him as a patient not getting to the bottom of it. But I also am beginning to feel bad for his doctor, who can get frustrated too. So although I am not a big fan of shotgun medicine, which is basically what he has here, is basically take this in case of this, if not do this, in case of this, do this, in case of that, do that, because you don't really know what you're treating. You're just hoping something works. But unfortunately, sometimes that's what we have to do. Because just like he said here, he's happy with the plan. And if your patient's happy with the plan, and none of these medicines are terribly, you know, going to hurt anybody, it's worth a friggin' shot. So what his doctor's thinking is maybe he still has some prostatitis, so he's going to try the doxy. Second, Bentil. Bentil is primarily a gastrointestinal drug. So we use that for abdominal cramping, for people with IBS, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, even if you're sick, you know, got bad diarrhea and it cramps. So it's an anticholinergic. It relaxes and slows down the bowel, basically. Some of the side effects he might want to watch out for is going to be terrible dry mouth. It could take diarrhea and quickly change it to constipation. So if you start getting constipated on that, you might want to back off it. Usually we do 20 milligrams, 10 to 20 milligrams, three or four times a day as needed with meals. And his doctor, like I said, there's a lot of other stuff besides. We were super focused on his, you know, lower urinary tract area, but right, he was, most of his stuff is suprapubic. So his doctor may be now starting to sort of changing his focus to colon stuff. You know, is this an IBS? Is this some kind of colon spasm problem or something like that? So it's generic, it's cheap, it's safe. You know, I would say okay with that. And then the last thing is baclofen, which is just a general old central nervous system muscle relaxer. We use it for backache, muscle spasms. It's a big one. It works really good for people with MS, whatever. Yeah, so basically, I mean, I think his plan is a plan. And if that makes your patient feel better and you're doing your best, then I'm okay with it. I mean, I don't think anything – my concern would be none of this is going to work maybe. And then
that's tough, right? Yeah, you know, when I read all this stuff and I try to understand all the stuff that this patient is going through, I can't help but think to myself, what are you eating? What are you drinking? What are you taking? You know, what are all the supplements and stuff? I would like to have all that information. You know, it could be you know, the source of fluids that he's getting. It could be certain foods that his body's not agreeing with, you know. A lot of the times, man, it comes right back down to dietary intake.
I'm thinking
some of this fucking mysterious stuff, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking his doctor may be starting to head that direction too.
Yeah.
With the trial of the Bentil, because if he does notice something with that, then you got to investigate GI stuff,
yeah,
you know,
food.
Whether it's a colon issue, if it's a diet issue, if it's a whatever issue kind of thing.
Even fucking bacteria gut health, even that.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a good plan. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of doing – putting medicines on things that I'm not really sure if they're there, if you can follow me on that. Like,
when
people come in and they just want an antibiotic because they're going on a trip. And I'm like, I mean, you know, will it really kill them? Probably not. I mean, but what am I giving it to them for? Sometimes I have people come in and say, I just in case. And I'm like, well, look, I can't document I gave you that just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
I need a reason. Not,
yeah.
Like a real
I can't
reason.
Tell the insurance company that this is just insurance for you.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you want to pay out of pocket. So, yeah, man. I mean, it's a frustrating whole scenario, I think. But the good news is, I always tell people, when you're having an issue like this and you've had multiple workups and tests and things and really nothing's come back bad, just think of all the bad shit you don't have. Right?
True.
Doesn't appear you have prostate cancer. Doesn't appear he has a kidney cancer. Mm-hmm. Doesn't appear he has a terrible bladder problem. You know, so all that stuff is positive. So yeah. I would say go with the plan and keep following up with us. We're interested to hear if anything, you know, you get this fixed up or you
yeah
know,
I'd love to hear
next.
Some fucking headway on this one, man. It's a mystery.
Yeah,
you know? I hate that shit.
You know
that like neither of us like mysteries, you know.
It's,
we don't like to wait around for stuff.
This is one of those situations, and I can feel it in my gut. Like, I've been in this before in an office where the patient's coming back and honestly you start to run out of
ideas.
You're like, you're frustrated, the patient's frustrated, you know. So you're like, you know what, I applaud your doctor for really trying to think of things, you know, and coming up with something to help you, because a lot of doctors by now would have wrote this off and said, well, we can't find anything. Go find – talk to somebody else or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Last but not least, you could always MR the area, you know.
That's what I said last time.
Yeah.
See, if something else. Here, I'm going to chew ice, guys.
There we go. There's a throwback to episode one.
the
ice eating episode.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Doc, that's it for questions and updates this week. Just wanted to get some more information out there and get to talking to my friends. So I thought, what the fuck? Let's get a show out of this. I think we can get some good information out there. Hopefully you did.
Hell yeah. You know? It's always good. We'll just do our own thing. We could talk and then we'll just post whatever, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just talk make our own questions up in the future.
I'm okay with that too.
I'm sure that's been done in podcast history before.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But yeah, like I said, again, if you guys have any questions you want the docs to answer, forum.advicesradio.com, click on Bodybuilding Discussion link. That takes you right to all the shows. You can post away, have a ball, and we'll definitely get to your questions. You know, as long as they're on there, we'll get to them.
Keep the questions and updates coming. We're not quitting. I sell this house, maybe we'll have a new studio in the
basement.
Ooh,
yes.
I might even have to purchase one of those little fancy microphones with the little thing on the front like you'd have.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with the pop filter. Yeah,
that way I can say I have a pop filter.
Yeah. This pop filter is the biggest pain in my ass ever. It's the worst product I think I've ever bought, but it still works. You know,
what does it do? Does it make your voice sound better?
Well, you know, when you're enunciating words and stuff, it takes the trebly bit off of it, or it takes the bass off of it. You know, because these microphones are so sensitive, like you could actually hear spit dropping onto the fucking mic. You know what I mean? If I were to spittle out, you would hear it. You know, the pop filter blocks all that. So my pop filter stinks also.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Constant spittle and bad breath.
4 years of spitting into it.
Fucking way isolate breath.
Yeah. Oh, all right, brother.
All right, Doc.
I got to get to try to figure out a quick gym session, get back here, clean this fucking house, wrap the dogs up in the F-150 and stalk my own place from down the street for 2 hours.
sounds like a fun day, actually. It doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah. And then I can't complain. I haven't worked in like a week, but now I got to work the next 3 days. Then I got to come home and make all my meals for work for 3 days in a row.
Yeah, that's not so bad. Could be worse.
And then watch the Eagles lose.
Hopefully the Eagles get killed. Yeah.
I'll be
watching the Lions get killed. You think you've had a bad season?
I would take back your running back, though, LeGarrette Blount. I wish we didn't let him go. We could use him, and he may have helped us win a couple games. Damn it.
Yeah.
They let him go.
Yeah.
All right, my buddy.
All right, Doc. On that note, the doctors are out.
See you guys.